Don't they know that we are in the cyber pocket of greatness?
The Halifax Daily News, internationally across the globe. Now, your host, Jamie and Lisa.
Yeah, look at that. The start of another work week. Monday, the day after Mother's Day. Mother's Day hangover for all the mothers who really celebrated it well.
It's happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Usually, McHappy Day is not something that is controversial, but this year it was. This past Wednesday was McHappy Day. Now, it's celebrated every year. McDonald's does this to raise millions of dollars for their children's charities.
Right.
But this year, there were a group of people that were none too impressed. This past Wednesday, McHappy Day was also, well, May 7th. It was the 22nd anniversary of the mass murder at the McDonald's in Sydney River. Three young people were killed, one critically injured. And it was a violent robbery that just shook this province to its knees.
Oh, yeah.
And the families are, well, they were quite upset, saying, you know, they can have McHappy Day any other day of the year, just May 7th is not really an appropriate day for that. They said it was very heartless of McDonald's to think that May 7th would be a good McHappy Day.
So now, wait a second. Does this change every year, or has it always been May the 7th?
No.
Was it McHappy Day when this happened?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Traditionally, McHappy Day is the first Wednesday in May. So it jumps all over the place.
Right.
First time I can remember that it fell on May the 7th, which is the anniversary. Now, I feel bad for these families. Yes, it was a horrible tragedy. I covered it as a reporter and it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these decisions, and they're made in corporate headquarters in Toronto.
Oh, I would imagine down in the States, too. Do they not do McHappy Day, like, across North America?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And to be perfectly honest, how many of those people in corporate head office making those decisions was even around when the McDonald's murders took place in 1992?
And here's another thing. How many tragic events have happened at a McDonald's restaurant somewhere in North America? I'm not saying that, you know, tragedy surrounds McDonald's, but there are so many McDonald's. So many people congregate at McDonald's. There have been other shootings. There have been other, there have been horrible things. I mean, I don't think they did that on purpose.
No.
And it's very difficult to avoid a day that where something somewhere happened. I mean, what you have to do is say maybe, just maybe, some good is coming out of that particular day.
Yeah.
McHappy Day. They're raising money for Ronald McDonald House.
Exactly. And I mean, the McDonald's in question doesn't even exist anymore. I mean, that McDonald's was torn down. It is now an empty lot in Sydney River. So, I mean, yes, I feel bad for the families. I understand that they still deal with this hurt every day. But to blame McDonald's for that, really, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Literally.
Yes.
Can you hear Dexter in the background?
So Big Brother Canada wrapped up the end of last week as well.
Wasn't that a great last couple of episodes?
Well, you know what? I don't follow it as closely as you and Bronwyn do. I know you guys are really obsessed with it.
I made you watch it, though.
But, you know, I do enjoy it. And I like the fact that it's the type of show that I can just sort of drop in and drop out of.
Canadians, we are so strategic and ruthless. I mean, I don't think there was one person in that house that didn't basically just cut somebody else's throat. Everybody that was talking is going, well, you know what? I'm good friends with so-and-so, but I'm going to be cutting them loose pretty soon. And I mean, they were absolutely ruthless, which is perfect because it's a game.
It is.
You see it down in the States and they're just like, I think I want to marry this person. Forget about all the money. It's come on. You're in there for what? 2 months?
2 months. Yeah.
2 months to win some money. I thought it was great that John won.
Mm-hmm.
John from Newfoundland.
Yeah. Big John Party. His name is Party. That's a real Newfoundland name, too.
There's going to be a Big John Party. I'm telling you, celebrating his victory.
There will. Now, it wasn't until afterwards that I realized he had a serious Nova Scotia connection.
Oh, playing hockey.
Well, yeah. He was a former Quebec Major Junior player. Mm-hmm. He was with the Rimouski Océanique, also the PEI Rocket, and also spent some time playing in
Amherst
with the Amherst Ramblers.
Yeah.
So he has spent a lot of time in Halifax, and who knows, he might be back for a visit with his $100,000 cash. And
he was just a good guy, very sarcastic, great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And evidently he was injured. You know, he stopped playing hockey and he was kind of looking for something to do. And he said, yeah, I'll try this Big Brother thing. Never watched the show, was not a fan of it. All these other people were really, really good at the game.
They studied it.
Yeah, he just sat back and he goes, wow, how can I beat all these people and win $100,000 bucks? And he did. I mean, he was the guy was smart. What a good show.
Hey, some bad news for hot dog fans. Just getting word about this. You know, the new Rona that's opening up at Almond and Roby Street where the old Piercy's used to be?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, it
opens Steve up. Is not going to be opening his hot dog stand there, and he's a little bit upset about it, too.
Yeah, Steve, the hot dog guy, he has been there for years. He was an institution at the old Piercy's, and now he needs to find a new home. And
funny, when Rona first took over, they said to him that, oh yeah, not a problem, you can continue staying here.
Really?
What they meant was you can continue staying here at the front of Piercy's as long as we continue to call it Piercy's as soon as we move into the new place. Bye.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because he was a big draw for that area.
I always thought that was a great business to get into because he did it up well. You have to buy buns and you have to buy wieners. And then you have to buy something to cook them on. What he did, though, is he had all these different toppings. You could put everything from cheese to bacon bits to sauerkraut to all of the regular condiments on this thing. And they were really, really good dogs. And so you could charge like $2.50 or, you know, $3 for a hot dog.
Well, they were gourmet.
And they were good. Yeah, I'm going to miss him.
Well, here's a story that just absolutely disgusted me when I heard it. And this being a military town, I well imagine there are a lot of folks who are going to be pissed off when they hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
A Silver Cross mother whose son was killed in Afghanistan has said, she says that she's being treated as a second-class person by the government after she was billed by the government for cost overruns for her son's funeral. This woman
he was killed in Afghanistan?
Killed in Afghanistan. They had a funeral for him.
Of course, the military pays for that. The government pays that. We, as taxpayers, pay for that.
Well, apparently.
Gladly, right?
Absolutely. But it would appear that we only pay for so much because she got a bill in the mail for $2,500, I think it was, $2,300. And even worse than that, the government threatened to garnish her taxes if the bill wasn't paid.
Okay, that's just not right. Now, wait a second. Let's set the scenario up here. What about wife, kids, that type of thing? Isn't the wife provided for?
No, he was not married, did not have any dependents. So his immediate family, his immediate descendants were his parents, his mother
and father. So his parents basically were holding a funeral for their child.
Correct.
That served our country in Afghanistan and lost his life.
Now,
okay, no, that's wrong. Let's gather some money together for these people or something.
We don't have to do this because some of his fellow soldiers in his unit passed the hat when they found out about this bill.
Of course, but they shouldn't have to.
I know.
Oh no, that's just not right. I don't think she had this parade down the street, closing off streets and calling it a holiday. And
I'm sorry, how many $16 glasses of orange juice for Bev Oda is that make up that $2,300?
They don't all deserve a decent funeral.
Mm.
I mean, after laying down their lives for our country, we send them over there, they lose their lives, and the poor parents are there stuck with a bill from the government of Canada. Oh, okay. No, I'm a bit upset about this now,
I mean, this is just the beginning because the funeral costs were just the start because her son was single when he was killed. Then the parents are ineligible for any counseling.
Just going through the possessions of the person, sorting them out, cleaning out their room, or, you know, doing that type of thing. That's basically what's involved. So there's a counselor involved there as well, just to help them out. So they don't get that.
No, they got nothing.
They have to clean out and get basically take care of all of their son's possessions.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for that.
All of his final remains and documents and everything they would have had to have taken care of, yes.
But they're not getting any counseling to help them through that process.
Nothing whatsoever.
That's wrong, folks. That's wrong.
Yeah, dead wrong. And of course, we just had this National Day of Honor last week, which was such a big to-do, and as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about, you know, all but window dressing, these mothers, Silver Cross mothers and others that gathered for this, were told by the government not to speak to one another.
What? What do you mean?
They were told not to consult with one another, not to speak to one another. And
about what? About what they received from the government?
About their own, about their own experiences in dealing with the military.
Oh, because they might find out that they're not the only ones who were screwed by our government, and maybe somebody else was too.
Yep.
Oh, that is so wrong. Yep. Gee, does that not reek of Harper?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that not, isn't that not what he tells his MPs? Don't speak to each other. I mean, that's just, oh.
Yeah, they actually, the women set up a social network with Facebook because they were told not to speak to one another. Anyway, that's a story we are going to keep our eyes on, and we'll update you as soon as we find out anything else.
Enough ranting. Let's do something. Let's do something uplifting. Why don't we chat with a friend?
All right. It's actor Jeremy Webb. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Jeremy.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. You are very busy off the leash, as they say, and you're going to be on stage around town this week?
Yeah, about all over the province, and even edging up into New Brunswick as well. We're doing a remount production, another week of performances of my play Fishing, which you know, I've done before. It's been going since 2012, so we're doing it again this week.
Now, this is the one that you wrote about internet dating?
Yeah, it's about the perils of internet dating. It's loosely based on my experiences with internet dating, but the character is, it's not really me. He's based on me, but he's a bit more of a jerk than even I am. So, and, you know, when I wrote it, when I was first looking at it, I considered myself to be very much a loser in the love department. So I went online and it all worked out in the end, but certainly for the character, it's quite a chaotic week of dating that he goes on.
Mm. And you play multiple characters in this?
No, actually, for once in one of my productions, you know, in my other shows, you're right, I do play lots of characters usually. Mm. It's one of my little sort of signature things. But in this one, I just play Paul Fisher, this 40-something-year-old loser guy who goes into internet dating. The actress in the play, Stacey Smith, gets to play 8 characters. She has to do all the hard work. I just get to sit on stage, stand on stage, and talk on stage, and she gets to run around like a crazy chicken with its head cut off, changing costume and changing character.
I knew talking to Jeremy Webb that there were going to have to be multiple characters somewhere.
Well, you know what, Jamie? It's a lot cheaper that way than hiring multiple actors. That's really the only reason that whenever you go see a one-person show or a two-person show, it's just a play that somebody wrote, and then they realize, oh, we can't afford more than 2 actors. Oh, no. And then we have to get all creative. So, Stacey plays 6 of the 7 dates that my character goes on, but she also plays my mother, or a version of my mother, and also my boss in the play. So she has a real acting workout. One of the reviews, actually, back in 2012, when we first started doing the show, said her characterization was like watching the cast of Saturday Night Live in full steam. So, you know, she's doing great work.
Terrific. Excellent.
Now, whereabouts in Halifax will we be able to see this?
Yeah, this is actually kind of cool. We're performing at the Park Place Theatre, which is a venue that very few people have heard of, but they know it as the indoor space of the Shakespeare by the Sea Company down in Point Pleasant Park. There's actually a theater there now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely little 80-seat theater, ample parking, because, of course, you've got the whole lower parking lot of Point Pleasant Park. It's a beautiful spot there. The show starts at 7:30 on Tuesday. And, so it's right down there in Point Pleasant Park. And then once we finish that performance, we pack up the show and we drive around the province and up into New Brunswick for the rest of the week.
Speaking of Point Pleasant Park, are we going to be seeing you Shakespearing it in the park this year?
Sadly, no. In fact, I was in talks with Shakespeare by the Sea, which was very exciting, and they've got a great season scheduled this year, so that was very exciting. But I'm actually going to Winnipeg to play the lead role in The Producers, so I'm out of here.
What a fun production that is.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It's my dream role. I've always wanted to play it. I understudied it here at Neptune when we did it, and got to be in the show. And then I heard they were doing it. I sent a videotape audition. Got an email a week later saying you got the part.
So, well, Winnipeg in the summer—that's the best time to go there. That's for sure.
Well, it's not like Winnipeg, but everyone's telling me that the bugs are crazy big and
have a good time unless the black flies carry you off.
Yeah, exactly. They might. They might. But so it's very exciting. So I get to finish Fishing, then I take another show that Off the Leash does, which is called Heroine, which is a play about two female pirates. I don't play either of those roles, I hasten to add. But we get to take that show to Vancouver for a week, and then I come back, and then I go to Winnipeg. So
wow.
It's been a busy year, and Off the Leash is really off the leash this year. We're running around all over the place.
Well, is there any other kind of year for you? You're the busiest person I know. You're always busy when we chat with you.
Well, like you guys, I like to work, and I like to pay my rent, and mm-hmm. I like to be able to afford to put diapers on my son. So,
Yeah, and we've all sort of developed this nasty habit called eating.
Yeah, it really gets in the way of being poor. Mm.
So you mentioned your son, Jeremy. We have to ask, how's the family? How's everything going that way?
Well, everything's really good. Samuel is actually, in a way, Samuel and Melissa are actually the result of the play Fishing that we're talking about, because when I did the original week of dating as research for the play, where I went on the 7 dates in 7 days that the character does, I then went back online to close down the online dating account, Plenty of Fish it was, and they were recommending that I look at Melissa's profile. She's just joined it. And go on a potential date. So we did, and here we are now, years later.
Wow.
Samuel. So Samuel is actually a direct result of the play Fishing.
Now, hopefully you put that in the program somewhere. That is a cool story.
It is. I'm not going to tell you the ending of the play, but it is alluded to that maybe there's a happy ending further down the line.
All right. Well, listen, you have a great summer. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it, and thanks very much.
All right, Jeremy. Cheers. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that through our website, jamieandlisa.ca. We would absolutely love to hear from you, and we'll jump into the email bag each Friday.
And fingers crossed, we might have some prizes to give away this week. A little something that we're working on for you.
It's for all the people who may have forgotten Mother's Day, and you're in the doghouse now. We might have something for you that might get you out of the doghouse. More on that tomorrow.
Until then.